fellow soldiers in the battle of right and wrong, I greet you in the name of our Captain, Jesus Christ. This weekend, the world around us, in the United States anyway, is remembering their heroes of battle. They hold up high those who have fought in the battles that have kept our country safe. They hold up the fallen heroes who have given their all for the country. But sad to say, in the eyes of many, it's just another day to be off of work and to go and do what you want to do. And I would dare say that those families who have been directly affected by severe injury or death because of war are not out there having a grand time, but they're remembering their fallen loved ones. There's monuments in the United States today bringing glory and remembrance to those who have fallen, and they're visited by many throughout the year. Brothers and sisters, this morning, do we ever take time to consider the fallen heroes in the Christian life? Do we ever take time to consider those who have given their all so that you and I might have freedom in Christ Jesus today? Do we stop and think about what it cost our forefathers, those who have suffered and died, so that you and I can have the Word of God in our hands this morning, and so that you and I can have an opportunity to hear the Word of God and to have the privilege of living a life of freedom in Christ Jesus? Going one step further, do we ever consider the fact that you and I are soldiers in this battle? We face the enemy. We face Satan. We face temptations. Are we standing up as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and fighting the battle, or are we just stepping aside and letting it overtake us without a fight? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Just read a few very familiar verses here as a springboard for the message. The title of the message is simply a Memorial Day message. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at the Memorial Day that our country observes tomorrow. But I want to draw our attention to those who have gone before us and who have fought the fight. Those who have been faithful, those who have been victorious, and look at their lives and see what we can learn for our lives today. Ephesians chapter 6, begin reading at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And that is why we need the armor of God. If we were in a battle of flesh and blood, we would do like the military of this country and many other countries do. We would build arsenal of supplies and equipment to go out and to destroy the enemy. But we're fighting against spiritual wickedness. And I'm thankful to tell you this morning that our God in heaven already has an arsenal of supplies. And all we need to do is take that armor and go out there and fight. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to go out and stand against the enemy, having done all to stand therefore. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to take the time to read this chapter this morning. Again, very familiar verses to all of us, but I just want to draw our attention to the ones that we call the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. All these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to call them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute of afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. This passage of scripture we often look at, and we look at these individuals and we look at their accomplishments and what they did and how they were faithful to God. And I believe it's right to view these individuals and their life and to see what they did that allowed them to be a victorious soldier. But I believe as we look at their lives, we need to recognize that these individuals were people just like you and I today. They weren't somebody, some supernatural, some miraculous individual, but they were people who faced the battles with right and wrong. They faced the battle against Satan every day in their own lives, just like you and I do. And yet they're recorded here in this passage of Scripture as being heroes of faith. How about us this morning? Would our name be added to this list? Would we fall in the same category as these people? Or would we be listed as those individuals who have deserted? Those individuals who have fled from the battle? Those individuals who have turned their back on the enemy and ran? Those individuals who have been overcome by the enemy and have been destroyed? Which class, which group of people are we a part of this morning? It is our choice, our decision, as we sit here in these pews this morning, it is our choice, it is our decision, as we go through life and face the challenges day by day, as to which group we're going to be in. It's a continual choice. It's a continual decision. Just looking at some of the individuals who are named in this chapter here, the first individual is Abel. And it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What was it in Abel's life that led him to offer the sacrifice of the first of the flock to God? It says by faith, and it says that for many of these individuals. But Abel understood and believed and obeyed the commands of God. This morning, I believe those three things are the steps that we need to take in order to be a faithful soldier for Jesus Christ. We need to understand, we need to obey, we need to believe. We cannot be a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ if we don't understand the battle lines. We can't be a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ if we don't understand the right and wrong that we're battling against or battling for. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to have the Word of God as a guideline and rule for our lives. Enoch is the next one that was listed there in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. How did that happen? Why did God take Enoch out of this world without seeing death? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And I believe there's many other individuals that have the testimony that they please God, and God didn't translate them that they don't see death. But that was the key in Enoch's relationship with God. This verse always brings a smile to my face when I read it because it reminds me of dear brother Eddie Gaiman, and I know I refer to him a lot, but that man made a lot of impressions on my life. And he said, he talked about this verse quite a bit, and he said, you know, brother Enoch was a man that lived for God, and he walked with God. The Bible says he walked with God, and he said, I can just imagine, and you almost have to know brother Eddie to be able to get this picture, but he said, I can just imagine brother Enoch walking with God every day. He'd be out there and he'd be walking with God and he'd be talking with God. They'd have a communication and he and God were friends. And he said, one day when they were walking along there and God said, you know, Enoch, he says, I like to talk with you. I like to have communication with you. Why don't you just come along home with me today? And God translated him. God took him along home. Brother Eddie said, if I'm not around someday, you know that God took me home too. Well, Brother Eddie died. I was at his funeral. But God took Brother Eddie home because he was a faithful soldier. You and I this morning can have that hope. We can have that assurance that if we are faithful, that if our life has a testimony that we please God, we are someday going to be taken home to be with God and with Jesus Christ. Does our life bear the testimony of an individual that is pleasing God? Or does my life show that I'm pleasing myself? Noah, in verse 7, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear and prepared an ark. Noah believed God. When God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood, and I want you to build an ark because I'm going to save you and your family and the animals in that ark. Noah didn't walk away from there and say, well, I don't understand that, and I just, you know, I can't comprehend that, so I'm not really going to do anything about it. What's God talking about? A flood? A boat? I don't understand it. When God talked to Noah, Noah accepted it as truth and fact. And he went about the business of building that ark. Took him a long time. But he kept at it. After 25 years, he didn't say, well, this is too hard to work. This is too much. Never going to get it done. I just I just quit. He didn't say that after 50 years or 75 years. But he kept at it. And God kept his promise. God did send the flood. He also kept the promise of preserving Noah and his sons and all their wives. He kept the promise of preserving the animals. Today, when God says something to us, we need to accept it as truth and fact. And we need to remember that God keeps his promises. Whether it's a promise of destruction of evil or whether it's a promise of preserving of right, God keeps those promises. And whether we are preserved or destroyed depends on what we do with what God says to us. Noah moved. Noah did. He prepared. And as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to prepare as well. We need to fight the battle. I don't know what all Noah faced. The New Testament calls him a preacher of righteousness. And I'm sure that in that wicked world, if Noah was a preacher of righteousness, he faced a lot of discouragement. He faced a lot of temptation to give up. He faced a lot of trials. A lot of mocking. But he kept on. He stayed strong in the battle. And he was rewarded. Are you and I soldiers like Noah was? Abraham. When God called him to go out into a place that he didn't know where he was going. Abraham could have said, "Well, God, if you're going to show me where I'm going to go, I'll go. But, you know, this leaving all my stuff, you know, all my friends and family behind and starting out on a journey and I don't know where I'm going to go. You know, I want to see the end of this. I want to see where you're taking me. Is it as good as what I have here? Or, you know, what's going to be at the end of this journey?" I believe most of us would have questions. But it says, Abraham obeyed. When God told Abraham to go, he went. Are we that type of soldier today that when our captain says go, we're going to go? Or are we going to sit back and say, "Well, you explain all the details to me. You show me exactly how this is all going to play out. You give me your plan and your conclusion and then maybe I'll go." It's not what Abraham did. And it's not what you and I should do today either. We need to have a faith and a trust in our captain that when he says go, we don't delay. Because brothers and sisters, if we delay, it may be too late. We need to face the battle head on. We need to be willing to go right into the battle and fight the evil. And if we hang back and we delay, it could be too late. It could be too late to save our soul from destruction, or it could be too late to save another soul from destruction if we don't go when we're told. We need to be a faithful soldier and go when we're told. We could touch on many other individuals. Isaac is mentioned here. Jacob. Joseph, Moses. You look at Moses as a leader of God's people as they came out of Egypt. The things that he faced when he went into Pharaoh and talked directly to the king of Egypt. Would you and I be willing to go into the Capitol or the White House of the United States of America and talk to our leader, to the leader of this country. The way Moses talked to Pharaoh. If God would tell us to. Would we have the courage to go and say, Mr. President, and tell him what God has told us? Would we be a soldier for God and do that? Let me bring it a little closer home. When God tells you to go and speak to a brother or a sister about something in their lives, something that you see, and God wants you to go and speak to them about it and encourage them and maybe challenge them, are you ready to go? Are you going to be a Moses? Are you going to stand in the battle against wrong? Are you going to stand in the battle against evil? Are you going to shrink back and say, well, like Moses did right at the beginning, says, I'm just a little man. I don't speak very well. I can't go, you know, send somebody else. God chose Moses. And maybe God is choosing you. And it's very easy to sit back and say, I'll send somebody else. I can't. I just don't have the proper words. I don't have the tact. I don't have the ability to communicate properly, and send somebody else. Brother, sister, this morning, if God is choosing you to go and to speak, do it. God promised Moses the power and the words. And Moses went. Yes, he had Aaron with him, and that sometimes is a very big advantage to have somebody else with us. But brothers and sisters, do not disregard God's command, God's choosing of you to speak. Moses went. Moses obeyed the words of God. He took care of the Passover. And he led the people through the Red Sea. He led them through the wilderness. And then Joshua, after him, led them through the Jordan River and around Jericho and the great conquest they had in the land. They were all faithful soldiers. Verse 31 mentions mentions Rahab, and she was saved because she received the spies and took care of them and sent them out privately another way so that they don't get caught. She was a faithful soldier. She believed God. She feared God. She knew that God was more powerful than the idols that they served in their land, in their country, in their city. Are you and I the faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ and helping others to be victorious in battle? The writer here to the Hebrews, in verse 32, he says, and what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell you of, and he lists a few of them. And I believe the list could have been longer. The list could have gone on of many individuals. And we have a list today of individuals. All you need to do is read the Bible, and you have a list of faithful soldiers. All you need to do is open the pages of the big book called The Martyr's Mirror and look at those individuals who lived and died for Jesus Christ. They were faithful soldiers. Are we this morning being faithful soldiers? Are we taking example? Are we taking courage from those individuals who we can look at their lives and compare what they did and see, yes, God is faithful. God will lead. God will direct. God will give the victory. We say victory. Some of those people died. They weren't delivered. Is that victory? Yes, it is victory. They died in faith. They gained the victory. They're in heaven. They don't have to suffer the second death. They don't have to suffer in hell eternally. But they can enjoy the pleasures and the glory of heaven. They can be there with Jesus Christ and with God. They can walk the streets of gold. They can worship before the throne. Are you and I this morning going to be faithful soldiers so that we can enjoy the same end? Romans chapter 8. Again, some very familiar verses, but I couldn't help but turn to them and read them this morning. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. It's the last part that I really want, but I begin reading at verse 28 to get the context. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers, sisters, this morning, the scripture here tells us that we are more than conquerors. The question may be, how can that be? A conqueror, you know, somebody conquers, you know, that's, we think of having been conquered, or, you know, that's just a total takeover. The comparison of the power that God has for us to overcome evil, the comparison of God's power compared to the power of evil is so vast, brothers and sisters, that the apostle here, as he was writing, couldn't explain it in any other way but saying we are more than conquerors. There's more than enough power for us to overcome. There's more than enough power for us to be victorious. It's not just barely by the skin of our teeth, like we say sometimes, but there's more than enough. If we avail ourselves of the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be more than conquerors over the sin and the wrong and the evil that is all around us. We need to be a faithful soldier. The question is asked in verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's a question that we can answer in our own minds. If God is for us, and that if is relative, is related to our surrender and commitment to God and to Jesus Christ. If God be for us, it's my decision. Am I on God's side? If I am in God's army, then God is for me. God is with me. And then the question comes, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? Can our neighbor? Can the infidel we meet on the street? Can our brother or sister stand against us? The answer is no. Second Timothy chapter 4. Very precious words of Brother Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. This morning, are we going to be able to echo the words of Brother Paul and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal God in heaven, we bow ourselves before you this morning.